Good job. I could hear it. Amen. So that excuse is out the window. There's no mic. They won't hear me. I won't sing. Yep, that's over with. Amen. Good to be saved.
Amen.
That's the understatement of the day,
Amen.
The week, the millennia. Amen. Let me see. Take your Bible. Go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Verse number 3. Says this. Lord speaking, by the way. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse number 5. Chapter 8, verse number 5. Says this. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Over there in Mark, as he begins the parable of the sower and the seed, he says the sower went out to sow, but in Luke, he gets a little more specific, and he says what he's sowing. He's sowing seed. I tell you something, seeds are small. I mean, believe me, there's some seeds in there. I don't know how many. They're very tiny. But I know this. Now, there's pictures of these are flower seeds. But those seeds that are, I mean, minuscule, when they're sown and watered, nurtured a little bit, they grow up in the big old flowers. Some pretty big. Flowers. Seeds are small things. Well, let me tell you like this. One year I was out in California and the preacher took me up to Sequoia National Park. The largest trees in the world. The tallest are in the redwoods in Northern California, but the Sequoias are the biggest. And they started from a seed, these humongous trees. I mean, for example, the largest tree in the world, they say, and they named it the General Sherman. I have no idea why, but it's 275 feet tall and 102 feet around. They estimate it to weigh, how they did that, I don't know, 2.7 million pounds. That's a big tree. I got a picture of me and a preacher standing in front of the tree, and you can see, you look at the picture and you see a tree and you see these two little things stand in front of it, and you look real close and you realize that it's people. Amen. And by the way, as you read about it, they estimate that this tree is about 2,000 years old. So when me and my pastor friend are standing there looking at this tree, we're thinking that when this was a seed halfway around the world, they were nailing our Savior to another kind of tree. The Bible says the sower went out to sow, and it said the sower sows his seed. And let me say it again. Seeds are small, and the moral of the story is small things become big things. And that makes it more important than ever to be mindful of what you sow. Father, we do come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, thankful for so many things. Most of all, the sacrifice that you made on the cross. Help us to be mindful of the fact that we have a debt, and help us to endeavor, Lord God, to show you by our gratitude that we understand we have a duty down here to be a light, to be a shining light, to point others to that cross that we were beneficiaries of. Lord, help me to preach and finish out this meeting tonight with something that will edify your people, be a blessing to them, and encouragement. And thank you for meeting with us all week. I believe you have. From my viewpoint, the liberty has been there. And I just thank you, God, for grace, and thank you for this church, and help me to preach now in a way that will put a smile on your face and accomplish your purpose with your precious people tonight. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Take your Bible now. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Word of God says, you're all familiar with it, verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Powerful verse, familiar verse. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're talking about sowing seed that becomes big. Again, I want to say it again. It's important to be mindful of what you sow. The verse begins with a warning. Amen. That in and of itself ought to tell us to listen up. Pay attention. It says, be not deceived. Amen. Paul was mindful of the fact that people are easy to deceive. And we live in a day and age, just like every day and age, there were false doctrine, there were false brethren, plenty of that stuff going around. But I've come to a place where I've pretty much convinced myself that the biggest deception we got going on is within our own spirit. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. Ever notice how people can talk themselves into just about anything? I mean, we get an idea, we get a notion that we need something, and it doesn't matter if it makes sense, whether we can afford it, doesn't matter whether it's practical. Man, we figure it out, boy. We figure out how to accomplish what we want to accomplish. People can deceive themselves into justified coveting things they don't need. Or making decisions that, looking back in retrospect, cause them to say, what was I thinking? Or am I the only person in here that's been guilty of that more times than I want to admit? Be not deceived. It's followed by a warning. God is not mocked. What does that mean? That's a reminder that if the Bible says it, mark it down. You can take it to the bank. Not based on how you feel. Amen. Not based on situation ethics. My wife dealt with a girl one time, and my wife would just go to the Bible and try to help her. And she'd say after everything, every verse that was appropriate. My wife's been in the Bible a lot longer than me. And the girl would say, yeah, but, and she'd explain some more details, and my wife would give her Bible, and she'd say, yeah, but. And after about three times, my wife closed the Bible, looked at her, and said, you know, I don't think I can help you, because all I got's the Word of God, and it seems to work for everyone but you. No, it works for everyone. Thank you, Lord. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going around this book. You better line up with this book. The verse goes on now, be not deceived, God's not mocked. The verse goes on to declare a profound truth. Amen. We call it a law. The law of sowing and reaping. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, let me say this. Termin, I'm going to be 67 in a couple of weeks, and terminology has changed a lot in my lifetime. Yours too. And sayings come and go. Terminology change comes and goes. Phrases. I heard the word verbiage, and I didn't even know what that meant. What in the word? What in the world is verbiage? It rhymes with garbage. I don't even know what it was. But different expressions that kind of took me by surprise. I remember doing a youth camp probably 20 years ago now. And one of the kids did something I needed to correct them, and he took the correction, but he responded by saying, my bad. And I'm like, I'm waiting for him to finish the sentence. You know, that was the whole sentence. My bad. I was coming, I'm like, what does that even mean? Amen. And then I read a headline article where somebody dissed somebody. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I can figure it out. Disrespect, is that what it is? Amen. The one that really got me was when somebody said something and they threw shade on them. I wonder if they appreciated it. Maybe it was a sunny day. I don't know. What does that mean? I saw a picture of a guy at a baseball game in a big stadium. He's at a baseball game. It's a sunny day. He's got a ball cap on. Backwards. He's got his hand over his brow like this so that he can see what's going on with a ball cap on backwards. And the caption was, wouldn't it be neat if somebody would invent a hat with shade built in? I think the problem with ball caps is, and a lot of people don't seem to know how to wear them, the problem is probably the fact that, as far as I know, they come without directions. I mean, I could take a magic marker and go to the mall at the kiosk where do you guys have malls? I don't know. And put an arrow under the bill like this way front, you know, cause obviously, you know, there's an issue. But I get it. Phraseology, if that's even a word, it changes and adapts and everything like that. But there's an expression that I became familiar with back in the mid 70s that has stood the test of time. Goes like this. What goes around, finish it. Wonder how that survived 45 years. I go to a juvenile detention center and preach to a bunch of teenagers. I'm talking about 12, 13, 14, 15 offenders. And I say, how many ever heard what goes around comes around? Everybody in there raises their hand. Amen. That was something that we took real seriously back on the street in the days. You know what it means? It means you better be careful, how you act, how you treat people, cause it could come back to bite you. Amen. Some people live like they're bulletproof. Nobody's bulletproof. Nobody's invincible. And if you're not careful, and the penitentiaries and the graveyards are full of people that weren't mindful of that very, very, a little tidbit of street wisdom. But you wonder why it stood the test of time. It isn't because it's street logic. It's because it's what? Pure King James Bible. That verse says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. Amen. I want to preach tonight on this subject, what goes around, what goes around comes around. I'll call it what comes around. Amen. Although that verse, well, let's take the next verse. Let's go to verse 8. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 8. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8 says this, the first part of it says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Amen. Soweth to the flesh. You know what the flesh is? The flesh is carnal. The flesh is temporal. The flesh is earthly. And if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. The definition of corruption is deterioration. Amen. Let me tell you something. If I was in the market for a used car, I'd be more likely to buy it in San Antonio than Staten Island, New York. Why? Because they use salt. And you know what it was? It deteriorates the metal. It corrupts it. But that word means more than just deterioration. It means compromise of quality and virtue. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. No corrupt communication. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Well, Brother Spurgeon, what's your opinion of corrupt communication? Doesn't matter what my opinion is. It's defined in the verse, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. You know, there's another verse over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, evil communications. That's a danger of social media. That's right. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Right. Now, we ought to have good manners no matter what the world's doing. But I'll tell you what, I've seen some Christians get called into the pastor's office over things that got ended up online more than a few times. I've seen comments made that people tried to say, oh, I was just kidding. My Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. I come from a crowd that didn't have much good manners, and we've been trying to learn. And but I'm around people constantly that are raised in church, raised with the Bible, raised with preaching, raised with good manners. But boy, they're bound and determined to try the spirits, get out there in that world. You know what they do? They prove us right. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Look at Galatians 5:19. He that soweth to the flesh, verse 19. Better get out of Luke here. Bible says this, verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. What does the flesh? So the flesh reap corruption. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And then it gives you a list, serious list too. Amen. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Now that don't sound good, does it? That book says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the sin, is as iniquity and idolatry. 1 Samuel 15. Alright, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. These are works of the flesh. He that soweth to the flesh shall love the flesh. Corruption. Listen, that is a list that anybody in their right mind, any Christian devilly, ought to want to avoid at all costs. First of all, because it's Bible, so it says it, you sow to it, that's what you reap. And you're not the exception, and here's why. Because God is not mocked. It's a law. Make matters worse. Anytime I ever heard anybody preach on sowing and reaping, they'd always throw this in. I'm going to throw it in too. You reap more than you sow. And a good example is 1 kernel of corn goes in the ground. This is an average, yields a stalk of corn. Stalk of corn, I verified this with my Iowa brothers. They got corn there. I mean, it looks like the ocean, only it's green. It's beautiful in harvest time. And 1 kernel of corn yields a stalk, yields 2 ears. Each ear yields approximately 800 more kernels. One seed. So, one seed yield 1,600. It's a principle of nature. The Bible principle too. It says in Hosea chapter 8 verse 7, for they have sown the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. I grew up in northern Ohio in the tornado belt. Amen. Every spring we're rebuilding somebody's barn, putting a roof on somebody's house. Amen. I tell you what, that's nothing to mess with. The power of God is unbelievable. Amen. I don't want nothing to do with the whirlwind. That book says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember, sower sows seed. Just little things. I'm going to give you a couple areas here. You don't want to reap this. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. For this is the first commandment with promise. Let me tell you something. You sow dishonor. Don't you realize that's what you'll reap? Yeah, right. Amen. Why? Because God is not mocked. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, for this is the first commandment of promise. Let's look at the promise. That it may be, Ephesians chapter 6, that it may be well with thee, number one. I know some people, I know some Christians, they'll tell you about getting saved, they'll give you a laundry list of things they've done for God. Matter of fact, they'd be more than happy to you. Happy to give you a list, describe all they've done. I don't know who they really did it for, but they're usually better bragging on themselves than they are Jesus Christ. Amen? First part of that promise is that it may be well with thee. I know some folks like that, I know some Christians like that, and you know what, it's not well with them. Ever. It's not well with their family. It's not well with their finances. It's not well with their health. ever. I understand trials are part of life. I understand the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. I get that. That part of it's part of the human experience. But I'll tell you what, man, I've had some lows, but they don't even compare to the highs. Amen. We all go through stuff because what are you going to ever comfort anybody else with if you never went through anything yourself? But I mean to always be on the bottom, always be in a position where it's not well with thee. I know something like that. Let me tell you something. That thing about obedient to parents shows up in the two worst lists in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right there with perverts and traitors and everything else. You better take this stuff seriously because God does. You don't want to be sowing dishonor. Because that's what you'll reap. Amen. Proverbs 16 and 28 says this, a froward man soweth strife. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you, and maybe you're not like this, but that word froward is not a word I remember in public school. It's not a word that I ever heard mentioned at the clubhouse all during them years or in the military. I mean, and the thing about the book is, a lot of times you can tell from the context, you know, it's negative or positive. And amen. Forward man, so it's right. That doesn't sound good. But I'm going to tell you, just once in a while, I'll look a word up. You're still allowed to do that. Yeah. Amen. Some of you go into the New World Translate. Okay, I won't go there. And but it says in Noah's 18:28, it says forward is defined like this. Not willing to yield or comply, ungovernable. Yeah, disobedient. I know some folks like that. And I don't doubt they're saved. Some of them, they claim to be. But man, all they do is sow strife. All they do is sow trouble. Don't you realize what the Bible says? If that's all you sow, that's all you'll reap. I mean, really? I said it earlier this week. I like it peaceful. God saved me out of a life of strife. That's putting it mildly. And that was normal. That became normal for me. Amen. But then when I met the Prince of Peace, I mean, when he said, peace, be still, to a storm cloud raging in my soul, and I went, wow, what's that? And I'm going to tell you what, peace is so precious. Man, if I do something to disrupt my peace with God, I am more than ready to get right. And I got to fight my flesh, and I don't want to admit I'm wrong too. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm coming to the point where peace with God is more important than my stinking pride. Yes. And I'll tell you what, it'd be a great day if every Christian I preach to would get to that point. Amen. That's why people swell up when you preach straight to them. You preach to, who does he think he's talking to? You. Out of love.
Amen. Thank you,
from the book with a desire to help you. It don't say share the word. It says preach.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't apologize for preaching. Amen. But you got to know this. Somebody said, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. Do you believe I care about you?
Amen.
Do you believe that I come here to help you by giving you what God told me to give you? These guys, you got preaching for, you've been in a ministry three times longer, twice as long as I even been saved, a lot longer than me. You're not dying on the vine for lack of Bible doctrine. But God uses the foolishness of preaching to keep his children on the straight and narrow, and I get the blessing of coming to this place, and I'm going to tell you what, it's a labor of love. Amen? So I'm not apologizing for nothing. Let me tell you something. Same goes with drama. Some people, man, I mean, they're drama junkies. If all you do is sow drama, if everything is, well, that's what you'll reap. I go places where there's always something going on. I go places and we'll take it to heart and we'll pray, and then we'll find out, we'll get a word. Yeah, that situation got worked out. Praise the Lord. That's part of the Christian life. We pray for one another. We're supposed to pray for one another. God does give the victory. Amen. And then we go back, some churches, we go back a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later. Some of them never Because it's all drama. Okay, that got resolved, praise the Lord, but now it's something else, and now it's something else, and it's always something. Some people are comfortable with that in their life. I'm not. I like peace.
Amen.
Amen. Some people have post-dramatic stress disorder. Wonder what they got for that. Bible. Proverbs, now this is the one I want you to turn to. Proverbs chapter 6. What goes around comes around. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Bible says this, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. What's abomination mean? Extreme hatred. Like God hating it ain't enough. He hates it extremely. That's where you ought to perk up and pay attention. And it begins in a list here, and it says in verse 17, a proud look. God hates it. Extremely.
Amen.
Amen. A lying tongue, same thing. And hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. A lying tongue's one thing. You lie on somebody else, that made the list. That's like double jeopardy. And then that verse, that list, that verse ends, verse 19, with this. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Where's my little bag of seeds? I mean, you can't even feel them in there. You can't even hear them shaking it. Here, shake it. Can you hear them?
Yeah.
You got better hearing than me. What I pay for these for? Hey man, what I'm saying is this, but they're pretty tiny in there, aren't they? You feel in there. Feel that bag. Right there. Feel them? Can you feel them? Just barely. Can you feel right there? There's a bunch of seeds right there. Little bitty tiny things. That Bible says that it's an abomination to God to sow discord among the brethren. Little things, little comments, little posts. Is that what they call them? I'm not really sure, but you know, don't you? You know where I'm going. Little snide, little remarks. Just little off-color criticisms of another Christian. Sister, brother, preacher. Let me tell you something. God, to say God frowns on that would be an understatement. It says that it's an abomination to sow discord among the brethren. Amen? Well, if that ain't bad enough, and it ought to be, I want to remind you something. If you sow discord, that's what you'll reap.
Right.
You'll reap it in your life. You'll reap it in your family. You'll reap it in your children. Amen. Now, it's a law. Sowing and reaping, it's a law. There's only one exception. There is an exception to the law of sowing and reaping. And you know what it is? Mercy. God's mercy. Amen. Will circumvent judgment. And it, thank God that His mercy is there for the asking. But you have to ask. His mercy sure enough endureth forever. But you're going to have to ask for it. You're going to have to admit you're wrong. You're going to have to admit you're needed. That's why people don't. That's why they don't ask for forgiveness or confess their sins or get right with God. Because some people can't even admit to themselves they're wrong.
Amen.
You're wrong a lot.
Amen.
We all are.
Amen.
Amen. So you just get honest with God. Do a little self-examination. And you ask for mercy. The Bible says we confess our sins. It doesn't say if we have any. That's a given. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's your move first. All right? He's able, but you got to make the first move. You got to confess. Not to me, to him. And he already knows. And you already know. So why is it so hard to get honest with a God that already knows what's going on?
Amen.
Tell you why it's hard. Because our stinking flesh doesn't want to do it. Even when we know better. So, if you don't get God's mercy, what goes around comes around. I'm trying to help you tonight. Now, I'm trying to finish on a higher note than all this negativity. So the verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 8, although it says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But it doesn't stop there. It says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there is a sowing that you can do that's got a positive reaping. Amen. And let me give you a couple examples of that. In Proverbs 11 and verse 18, the Bible says this, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward.
Amen.
If you reap what you sow, it'd probably be a good idea to sow righteousness, wouldn't it? You know, you're not sure about which way to go on a certain subject, on an issue, you know, just err on the side of righteousness. People do it the other way. Well, I don't see anything clear, and everybody else is doing it, so I'll just do that. That's not the way to do it, Christian. Err on the side of righteousness. In other words, this. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it can be taken wrong, maybe it isn't. I'm not a legalist. Maybe in and of itself it's not evil or wicked. But if it can be taken wrong, mark it down, it will be. And if you're not sure, well, then you wait till you find out one way or another. Ask your preacher. Talk to somebody. Amen. God's not going to fault you for wanting to please him too much. Amen. Sow to the Spirit. Sow righteousness. Galatians 5. We're there in Galatians chapter 5. Or were. And right after that list of the works of the flesh, there's a verse there, a couple of verses. Ought to be real familiar to you. Ought to be real important to you. Verse 22. And after all that list, it says, but. Talk about reaping and sowing. You sow to the flesh, man, look at that. But it says, but. But the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits. It's not multiple choice. The fruit of the Spirit is what follows here. Look what it says. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. The Bible says we're to forgive and forbear one another. Fruit of the Spirit is putting up with each other. Remember, you want people to put up with you. You want the right to be yourself. Well, it comes at a cost. You got to let other people be themselves too. In the Lord, not talking about sinful behavior. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Then it says this, against such there is no law. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's a win-win situation. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap that stuff right there. And remember, the law of sowing and reaping is that you'll reap what? More than you sow.
Amen.
Amen. So, with that in mind, it says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 8, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. That's sowing good. That's sowing the right. That's reaping more than you sow. All right, now let me put in the disclaimer here. Everything that has to do with the flesh is not evil. All right? Things like sleeping. The older I get, the more important sleeping is. Amen? Brother Brian is wondering why this meeting, he's more tired than he was last year. Last year was 10 days. Why? Maybe we should tell Brother Brian, he's a year older than he was. Guess what? Next year will be worse. Part of it. Amen? It's part of it. I'm here to tell you, sleeping's good. Somebody said, shut up so we go home and go to sleep. If I thought that's what you'd do, I'd probably shorten the message. But people go to meeting 3 or 4 or 5 days in a row and, oh, we're wore out. Like you working men. You go home and eat and go to bed at 7 o'clock? No. You go out there and mow the lawn and do what you gotta do to your car and play with your kids. All that's fine. You watch television till 11 o'clock, you know, cause the news is so edifying. So it don't hurt you being church a couple hours a week extra, a week or two a year. Does it? Amen. That was good. I was going to amen myself if somebody didn't say something. Eating's good. I've been feasting all week. Thank you again. And those things aren't evil in and of themselves. Things like working. Working's important. You're supposed to work. Amen. Providing for your family. The Bible says if you don't, you're worse than an infidel. Learning has to do learning just the things about life, let alone growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. That's not evil at all. What about having fun? I have fun. Amen. I like to ride motorcycles. You might like to golf. Like Brother Pearson, do you golf while you're on the sailboat? I'm trying to figure that out. Amen. But people have things they like to do. It's okay to have fun. Don't be doing it on Sunday morning. One day this pastor, he loved to golf. All my friends love to golf. Most of them. And I get to town and they think all of us preachers are golfers. And a guy said to me one time, it was out in California, he said, okay brother, we got meals set up, we got this, we want to know what day do you want to go golfing? And because everybody does. And I said, golf? I don't golf. He says, well, I don't know if you could really be called to preach if you don't golf. So he said, I didn't get that saved, buddy. I ain't that, but I like to have fun. I like to ride motorcycles. Amen. Nothing wrong with it. Just don't do it on Sunday morning. This one preacher, he, I don't know how he pulled it off, but he got somebody to fill the pulpit on Sunday morning and he went golfing Sunday morning. He hit the only hole in one he ever hit in his entire life. And he can't dare ever tell anybody. Oh, when did you do that? Oh, about 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Oh, I thought. Amen. Listen, you can have a good time. Don't let it interfere with your walk with Jesus Christ. Don't let it interfere with your obligations to your church, to your brothers and your sisters, and you can have a blast. Jack Wood, old Texan from Houston, told me, I've been out of jail 3 weeks. He said, if you're not enjoying your Christian life, you're not doing it right. I took that stuff to heart. Like I say, I was the dumbest one in the room. I shut my mouth and opened my ears and I listened and I learned some things. And you know what? Be swift to hear, slow to speak. That's still the formula. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of things we do, they're all of the flesh. You might not be guilty of any of the works of the flesh. That list, and I hope you're not. But let me say to you, as we wrap this thing up, which doesn't mean I'm almost done with the message. I'm at the week. You know, if your entire life revolves around the things of this life, you'll have nothing to show for it in eternity. Sowing to the Spirit, Bible says, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Sowing to the Spirit has eternal consequences. I heard a quote one time, a commander was leading his men into battle and he says, what we do here echoes in eternity. I don't know if he's trying to cheer them up or what, but I heard that and I thought, man, what we do here echoes in eternity. We sow to the Spirit. We sow the Spirit. And worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing will echo in eternity. And I'll tell you something else. There's something else that's echoing in eternity too, but not in that place. It's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and a cry for mercy that will not be answered in the affirmative. And for so many, that hinges on how seriously we take our duty to live in a way to point this lost and dying world to Jesus Christ. Not to ourselves. Who cares what you think? Who cares what I think? What matters is, what does that book say that the Spirit of God will bear witness to accomplish His purpose? You've heard this quote before. I'm gonna say the first line, and if you know it, you finish it. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Try it again. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. You believe that? Amen. I believe that. Amen. So what I'm asking you to consider in 2020 is this. Are there going to be any souls in heaven because you've sown to the Spirit since you've been a Christian? Think about this too. Sowing to the Spirit produces gold, silver, and precious stones at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, those things make for a nice crown to return to your Savior to show you're grateful that you're not in hell. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So, there's a choice. It's up to you. Pretty clear. Should be easy. Wonder why we spend so much time, so much energy, so much attention, so much resource on the lesser choice, on the flesh. Maybe that's something to do with this. Sowing to the flesh usually yields instant gratification. And boy, we live in an age where we want it now, and we want it faster, and we want it better and shinier and newer. And sowing to the Spirit, in other words, being obedient to what God, sometimes will never the results will never manifest themselves in this life. Amen. And we want results. That's why we perfected, not we, but that's why someone's perfected the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. We had 12,000 in Sunday school last year and 10,000 in the baptistry, and 15 years goes by and the church doesn't pick up one member. That's what I think about all that. Stuff makes me sick. Amen? All right. Looks like some of you are done, so I better wrap it up. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Stay in the fight. What goes around comes around. You know what's true? Every day you sow. Every day you sow the flesh. I mean, when you eat. Every day you sow. Well, I hope you sow to the Spirit. You can. Sometimes you sow to one or the other. You sow to both. And you reap accordingly. It's a law. So if all you're sowing has been to the wrong field, in other words, the temporal, yes, you're saved. Yes, you come to church. Yes, you got a King James Bible. Yes, you give a little. But if all you're sowing has been to the temporal, to the carnal, it ends. Here's what all that stuff got in common. It ends at the grave. You need to be sowing to something that's going to survive the grave. Amen. So, if you've been sown to the wrong field, the works of the flesh, do not pray for a crop failure. Somebody said, if you're praying, pray for a crop failure. My Bible says God is not mocked. There's not going to be a crop failure. The only thing that'll interrupt the judgment that you're due is to get in on His mercy. Remember? Amen. Confess it. Yes. Repent of it. Amen. Amen. Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. So if you think you don't have a besetting sin, you're deceived. And the devil is laying for you. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that he takes people captive at his will. Stay humble. Amen? Amen. And many in here, as far as I can tell, and from testimony for even years and years before I ever had the privilege to come here. Many of you are consciously, voluntarily, sacrificially sowing to the Spirit. What a good testimony to have. Well, you're going to be glad you did when you see the smile you put on your Savior's face and the souls that you had something to do with getting to heaven. That's what this thing's about. There's a lot of icing on this cake. Again, I enjoy being a Christian. But at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is the main thing. All right, let's stand if you're able. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done for this year. Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 15, the Bible said, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Let me just say this. I'd be negligent in my duty as an evangelist if I didn't say, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved and you die before you get saved, you're going to reap the wages of sin for all eternity in a devil's hell that Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for you to avoid. Don't miss it. Don't miss that. The rest of you got the message. You act on it. Thank you for a good meeting. Thank you for a good week. And whoever's supposed to come, and just come. Let me say this. Head bowed and eyes closed. I haven't done this week. Head bowed and eyes closed. If you're in here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you just be honest with yourself. I'm leaving tomorrow. Don't have to worry about me coming to you. But you'd like prayer. Would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up nice and high where I can see it, and God will see it, and I'll pray for you. All right? I see that hand. All right? Wouldn't this be a good night to get saved? Wouldn't this be a good night to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ once and for all? Listen, in that jail cell that morning, I did not get religious. And 29 years later, I'm still not religious. But I'll tell you what I am. I'm forgiven. Amen. And what a load of care was lifted. And I didn't even understand it. But the more time I spent in church, the more I realized what I got in on. And there's nothing better than getting in on the grace of God and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And if you're in here, I didn't see everybody. If there's somebody on this side of the room that's never been saved, would like prayer, slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Don't be shy. I'll tell you what, if you're in here and you're not saved, I'll do more than pray for you. I would encourage you to step out and come down here and let one of us open a Bible and show you some verses so that you can see with your own eyes from the Word of God how easy it is to be forgiven. Don't miss it. If you're in here and you're not saved, I'll pray for you. But I would encourage you to step out right now. Step up here. I'll talk with you. Others will talk with you. A lady will talk with you. But don't miss it. Let's get it while you can. Father, I love you tonight. And I thank you for the liberty that we've prayed about, prayed for all week, direction. I believe, Lord God, your Spirit bore witness to the Word of God every night. And I thank you, Lord God, for the liberty tonight. There's Christians in here that need to reevaluate their sowing and their reaping. And I hope they do. And something I learned a long time ago, if people will step out and make an effort and get down on an old-fashioned altar and humble themselves, they're a lot more likely to carry the conviction of the Holy Spirit out of the building with them than if they just put it on the back burner and think, yeah, that's good. I got to deal with that. And buddy, the Bible says Satan cometh immediately, and he does. and there's something about it, nailing it down, committing beyond retreat, especially in a room full of other believers. It helps us. We need it. So, Lord, during this invitation, I pray that some Christians in here that this message was directed to would respond even now. But, Lord God, most more than anything else, you saw that hand. And, God, I pray that you make it easy for that person to understand that this is the biggest issue of life. And it is the simplest to rectify. And simply by raising that hand is a good first step toward acknowledging and admitting that there's a need that they need you to meet. And you've already proven you're more than willing to do whatever it takes to make forgiveness available. Help that person step out and get the gift of eternal life. And if for some reason they don't or won't or can't, I do pray that before they leave this building, they'll pull somebody aside that they trust and ask them to open the bread of life and get their sins forgiven once and for all. Thank you for grace. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. All right.
While you're standing, take your red books and turn to number 372. This is a song of commitment and it's a song of challenge, and I do want to reiterate what the brother said. If there's anybody in this room that's not saved, we'll do anything in our power to help you to understand what it means to call on the Lord.